Hello and welcome to another episode of Formula for Success with me, David Coulthard, and my old friend. I think the scriptwriter's got a
steady.
Bit confused.
I told you about being ageist.
Eddie Jordan, how are you, EJ?
Hey, rock and roll.
You are definitely a rocker and a roller, aren't you?
DC, every week I'm having to speak to you. This is beyond what I can endure, to be very honest.
Well, maybe we should start by just saying how long you have endured, because it's your birthday. That's right. You're 75. 75 years ago today, on the 30th of March, 1948.
Don't look so surprised.
Edmund Patrick Jordan was born. Now, were you actually born, or is there any truth to the rumour that you were sort of the result of some sort of early Irish experiment and it was all done in a lab? Because you're not normal.
When you said experiment there, I don't know whether you were making reference to what my mother and father got up to, but I presume this is a clean show, it's a family show, and when I'm talking about your parents, I'm very respectful and you're respectful about mine. So what they did and how they did it is beyond me, but anyway, I'm here to live to tell the tale.
Well, happy birthday to you. Anything planned for today?
Well, you know, it's a big day. Marie only last week was 65. I'm 75 and 45 years married. Jesus, there's a lot of people who are slightly dumbfounded by all of those statistics. But anyway, it's happened. It's reality. I'd love to buy another 25 years if I could, because, you know, life has moved by so quickly. And I think motor racing has helped in that regard. Music and the other things that I do, and sailing and golfing and crash. You know, I just was a complete fanatic about sport. So people who are of that age, 75, just rejoice, because honestly, it gets better and better.
It does indeed. Well, also for those who aren't big EJ followers, Marie, of course, is your long-suffering wife, and she's a great photographer, great eye for art, and we can maybe talk about her in another one of the shows. But in the meantime, EJ, happy birthday for me.
Thank
and if anyone of our listeners would like to send EJ a heartfelt birthday message, you can get in touch at ffs@whisper.tv or on social media through @F1 for success. Do you know what gifts you're getting for your birthday, EJ? You said you'd like to buy another 25 years, but normally you don't buy presents. So have you got anything that anyone's got planned for you?
Well, we kind of have a thing. We've got 7 grandchildren. There's 16 of us heading off to the BVIs in the next day or so. We've taken 2 catamarans. So let's hope we have a bit of fun. We love the water. We love the sailing. And, you know, the weather is still so gorgeous there. It's probably one of the last big holidays that we'll probably have together as a family, because Christmas was daunting. I mean, to have all of those kids running around the place is chaotic.
Well, nothing says wealth like going on a sailing trip with 20 of your closest family, EJ. You have certainly robbed well over the years. We clearly couldn't afford to get you an actual physical present. So what we do have is we've got a special guest, someone that you and I have spent a lot of time with in the early days of our work with the BBC. And it's our old buddy, Jake Humphrey.
Oh, my God.
Fills my heart with joy for the three of us to be back together, even if it is only over a video call.
How posh does he look now? You big star. We made you. Humphrey, we made you. DC and me.
We made you.
EJ, I know this is going to be difficult for you to just sit back for a moment. This is all going to be about Jake. Just, you know, Jake, take us back to the first time you met EJ. I can't remember if I was there or not. If I was, I probably gave you the public health warning to know what to expect. But what's your early memories of meeting the legend that is Eddie Jordan?
Well, first of all, he is absolutely a legend. And Eddie, happy birthday.
Thanks, Jake.
You know what, David? People often say to me, you know, what are your plans for the future? And the truth is, I say, I want to be like Eddie Jordan. I want to have his energy. I want to have his passion. I want to have his love for his family. I want to have his loyalty for his friends. I want to say at the beginning, he is one of my favorite people, one of the most genuine people I've ever met. I love him dearly. Now I can tell the truth. I remember really fondly those early days of Formula One, because I first met you, David, actually in China. You were still racing at that time. It was your final season in Formula One. I remember going there and seeing Steve Ryder hosting it for ITV, thinking, there's no way I can do that job. That's a job beyond me. I remember going to McLaren for the first time and Ron Dennis sitting in front of me going, so you've only been picked then because you're young and handsome. And I felt like saying, well, I'm sure there are other reasons, but I didn't want to argue with Ron Dennis. And then one day, Niall Sloan, who gave all of us our job and is now the head of sport for ITV in the UK, he took me to Eddie's offices in central London, just near Park Lane. And I'll never forget it. I went in and I thought, he goes, the first thing he goes is, do you want a coffee? And I said, yeah, I'd love a coffee, please. And I thought, great, I'll have some, like, this guy, he's made all his money. He obviously lives a really lovely life. And he started getting out these little, like, you know, those small packets of coffee that you can get from hotel rooms. He found some of them in a drawer. And I'm thinking, hold on a minute, what's going on here? I was expecting like a latte or a cappuccino or something like that. And I found Eddie to be a fizzing ball of energy and excitement and passion for Formula One and a sense of adventure. And I was actually thinking, wow, bloody hell, this guy, man, he's like full on 1,000 miles an hour. And it was only at the end when I was talking, there was a lady in the office at the time who was working with him. She said, oh, it must be so nice for you to meet Eddie now that he's far more relaxed than when he was working as a Formula One team boss. And I was thinking, what? What was he like as a team boss? So that was the first time I got to meet Eddie. And I was super nervous, you know, because Niall had said to me, he said, listen, we want you to be the Formula One presenter. We're not going to announce it because we really want Eddie Jordan part of the team. You'd already agreed, David, I believe. He said, we really want Eddie to be part of the team. We're going to go meet him. I'll lay it on the line, he said. If Eddie doesn't like you, then it's not going to happen for you. So I knew I had to meet this guy and he was going to decide whether I got the Formula One job.
Pressure, absolute pressure. And EJ, you obviously were impressed with Jake. Is it because, you know, he's a tall, handsome man and, you know, that's the vision that you have for yourself?
He was very clever. He got the meaning of Formula One straight away. He gave me a big handful of folding. And when I looked in the folding, I said it just about had enough money in there to say, Jake, you got the job.
Once a wheeler dealer, always a wheeler dealer.
What, are you suggesting he didn't give me any money? Come on, how could he have got that job?
What's between you, you two is between you two. But anyway, Jake, your favourite memory of EJ, because we've gone through some weird and wonderful times with him, but you'll do a much better job than I can of explaining to our listeners the craziness of EJ, but yet the brilliance of the man.
So, you know, people have to remember that making Formula One programmes, particularly when you're live, is like a high wire act. You know, you're walking around the pit lane, the paddock, you're going in and out of garages. Sometimes you talk back, which is what connects us to the production gallery and the production team works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you can see a monitor. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you don't even know if you're on air. And part of the hardest thing for me, and you guys won't relate to this because you were on the other side of the fence, so to speak, was trying to herd you two around the paddock. When you two, you weren't ill-disciplined, but it was not your world. Like, my job was to keep the show on the road. My job was to get us on air and off air. Your job at the, it's probably different for you now, David, because you've done it for 10 years. But at that time, you were fresh out of the car. So you were seeing mates and sponsors and former bosses and former teammates. And I could hear a, you know, a voice in my ear going, back on air in sevens. And I'd look around and neither of you would be there. And I'd be like, I'd literally yell, David, at the top of my voice in a loud pit lane. And then turn to the camera with a smile on my face, carry on talking. I couldn't yell Eddie because I just basically frequently lost him. And I would just say, no idea where Eddie is, down the microphone. And then I remember Mark Wilkin, our producer, would go, okay, guys, this segment is without EJ. And then 10 minutes later, he'd sort of reappear. And I used to say, you do know we're not on live television. You can't just disappear for a chat with someone else. But sort of memories that spring to mind. I remember once we all drew pictures for charity. Eddie came in about half an hour before we're live on air, put his trousers down, did his picture for charity. And then about 10 minutes before we had to be in the pit lane to go live, he picked up his trousers to realise he'd laid his trousers over the artwork and they were covered in paint. So then he's got like a team of production people cleaning his jeans before we go on air. I mean, I love the moment that we both interviewed Paul McCartney in Abu Dhabi and Eddie finished the interview with Paul McCartney with the famous lines, thank you, George. And then there was this look on Paul's face. And we started walking off and Eddie looks at me, we're going to a VT, he goes, did I say George? And I didn't want to kind of derail him. So I said, no, I'm sure you said Paul. And then my other abiding memory was we'd come off air, 3 hours, four, five, sometimes more of live television, like seat of your pants stuff, brilliant fun. I loved the fact that we sort of pushed the envelope and in many ways rewrote the way Formula One's broadcast today. And he'd be slumped in a chair in the production office like a seven-year-old child. And I'd go, Eddie, what's up? He goes, oh, off. And he would swear at me. I'd say, no, seriously, mate, what's the matter? He'd look at me and he'd go, you always ask DC the best questions. And I wouldn't know what to ask. Like, well, I'm sorry, Eddie. I think he just gives the best answers. But I have to say, guys, like, there was a magic, right, when the three of us made the Formula One coverage. And it's a remarkable thing for me. Like, we're recording this in 2023. Every single day, people say to me, where's your next race? Where's your next Grand Prix? And I'm like, when I tell them I left a decade ago, their jaw drops. They can't believe it. And I think that is just testament to the fact that with you two there, we managed to sort of capture something at that time that really engaged the British public on the BBC. And I will be forever grateful for those 4 years. They were probably too short.
Yeah, indeed. EJ, have you got any comeback to Jake on that before I get into another couple of quick questions?
I remember we went off on a scout sometime, and the three of us were given a job to make a jacket or something, some clothing. Was that in China?
Yes, in China, yeah.
And I still wear that jacket to today. I don't know who designed it for you, DC, but it was a navy jacket done in very Chinese-style collar, which I absolutely love. But it had the most vivid yellow Jordan lining, and for sure that came from you. So I've never really thanked you for that, because I use it to this day. And that must be 20, 25 years. They were great. The kind of ideas that we used to concoct and make up was just so crazy that's just one of the things. And there's dozens that comes to mind. Yeah. So, DC, thank you for the jacket, guys. That was good fun. And actually how we made, if you remember the Paul McCartney story, what actually happened, you challenged me, Jake, into making this long Indian coat. And we got everyone's signature on it, including, I think, Roger Federer was there,
yeah,
and Rory McIlroy was there, and was a whole heap of other people. And that's why we got confused. If you remember, and you've got to save me here a little bit, the reason I called him George, I called Paul McCartney George, is that we were talking about the great memories that we all had with George. And it was in my mind, and I was thinking about him because he was such a special guy. And when Paul gave me back the jacket which he had signed, incidentally, it went to Children in Need, and it made something like £120,000, that coat, with every single driver signed it, including a host of celebrities. So there was some good times and some good causes that we were able to help towards. So well done, you two guys, for making sure that that happened. And incidentally, Jake, and the listeners should know this, but I was a patron of Click for a very long time with Marie, and we helped in some ways to build those extra houses alongside UCLH. And Jake has taken over my mantle, and I'm deeply grateful. You do an amazing job, Jake, for those charities, for those kids with leukemia. I'm so proud of you, son.
Thanks, mate. Likewise.
Well, that is very, very nice words, EJ, and it does make it slightly difficult for me now to take the piss out of you when you've just been so sincere and so nice. But so maybe what we should do, actually, Jake, here's a serious one for you on behalf of EJ and I, because we have started to do this podcast, and
yep,
we've obviously studied what you've been doing, and you do fantastically well with the High Performance Podcast, and you've grown that brilliantly. So what advice can you give us, and please don't say stop doing a podcast, what advice can you give us to make Formula for Success, which is so difficult to say for me, more successful?
I think you guys do a brilliant job. I think that you have a really unique blend here of a Formula One team boss, a former Formula One driver, and it's just, podcasts take time, right? But the great thing about podcasts is that there's no lie, there's no bluff, there's no bluster. If people don't like it, they won't come. And if people do, they will find it and they will enjoy it. So I think that you two have a magic formula, a magic chemistry. Just keep on doing the thing that you've both done for so long, so brilliantly together. And I can't wait to have you both on my podcast. I've extended invitations to both of you, which have yet to be accepted. But at some point, we should get together and talk high performance.
We would love to do something live in the future. And if time was permitting, we make sure it's outside the Champions League and all the other soccer things that you're committed to. But, you know, the three of us getting together, maybe even for a charity of your case, maybe even for Click or something like that, we could do either something in London. We can do it anywhere.
I tell you what, why don't we do something at Silverstone on that main stage after the Grand Prix this year? You could do a live Formula for Success. Have the three of us do it. Like, I think the British fans would love to see the three of us back together talking Formula One. It would be great for your podcast. What do you reckon?
Love it.
And as well as that, we should bring some guests, some people that can add real excitement to it. I mean, Irvine is can't wait to get on. And I can promise you, he's got some stories that would make your hair stand on end. Between us all, we should come up with maybe 4 or 5 guests to come and join us and sit beside us and interact.
Let's do it.
Jake, great to see you, even if it is over a slightly dodgy mobile reception. Go and enjoy your time with the family. And it was great to be back together. The three amigos, briefly together on Formula for Success. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you both very much. It's so nice to be back together. And listen, if we can make this happen live at Silverstone, let's do it, man. Formula for Success live. I think people should message in and tell us if they want it, right? You can only give people what they want. But just getting together, the three of us, once again, is lovely, guys. I think the world of you both. So all the very best of luck with your podcast and lots of love. Thank you so much. Oh, and by the way, congratulations, Red Bull, for the drivers and constructors title this season. It's been great to see a battle for the first race of the year. It's over, by the way, guys. Do you realise it's over, Christian? I taught you everything you know. And that's why you only won the title, because you used to watch Jordan back in the day when we dominated in Spa.
All right, Jake, it's time you pick those kids up. Bye-bye. Adios,
bye, Jacob.
Amigo.
Bye, Jacob.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, EJ,
I'm going to ask you a question, DC. He made it so easy for us, didn't he? Because he was like a father figure. He could be very tough when he needed to be tough. Sure, Mark Wilkin, as he's already described, was a tough director, and he made sure that things were in place. And I think we were probably difficult to control because of the way Formula One was in the paddock, and people pulling you, and people who knew you well, and people who knew me well. It wasn't all that easy, but full marks. You can see how he's progressed. He's a massively professional guy, and everything he has, he deserves, because, you know, he went through the hard times. And he mentioned one person in particular that I'd like to say thank you to, and that was Niall Sloan. He's absolutely right. Niall came to see me. You had already signed. It was slam dunk for me. I think Niall Sloan, who, fellow Irishman, how could you possibly refuse him? Because he is the consummate professional and brilliant at what he does. He was with BBC at the time. He's obviously ITV now. And so we were very fortunate to have some really cool people who helped us on that journey.
Now, there is another event going on this weekend, maybe not quite the scale of Eddie's birthday celebrations, but it's the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne. What's your memories of racing there and the highs and lows?
Well, your mate and my mate, Martin Brundle, I mean, that was one of the biggest crashes I've ever seen. It was massive. And he walked away from it. In fact, ran the whole length of the pit straight to jump in at that stage what was entitled to be the spare car, which were usable then. And he competed in the races. That was one of the biggest crashes, and just walked away from it. So that was brilliant. On the other side, one of the last races that we've done there was Frentzen finishing second. I think Irvine might have won the race. That must be 99. And that was close, because I thought we probably had that won, but Irvine in the Ferrari was strong, and he went on to have a very strong year that year. So good highs and good lows. What I loved about Melbourne in particular, and Adelaide to some degree, is the welcome and the way people embrace Formula One. And particularly when we went to Melbourne, there was a lot of, should we be there? Should we not be there? Adelaide gave us the chance, and Adelaide was a magic. But the people, the Crown Casino and all of the people that were there that helped us, they had the Australian Open Golf, they had the tennis, and Melbourne wanted to have the Formula One. And the Formula One thing was very successful there. And of course, our own friend Mark Webber went back to score, I think, a podium in his first ever time there in a very beat up car. So there's lots of good memories for lots of good people.
Yeah, absolutely. Did I ever tell you about the time I won the Grand Prix there?
I wasn't going to mention that, because you've already got enough halos on your head.
Honestly, a special treat. Which one would you like? Would you like me to tell you about the first time I won or the second time I won there? Your choice.
I was going to wait till we get to Monaco to do that, because that's much more what people want
prestigious
to hear. You know, how you dived into the pool and how you won that, and make me feel tiny, like I'm even smaller than I already am. Can we move on?
EJ, your personality is, I can feel your presence in the room and you're thousands of miles away from me. So moving on, Piastri, I think doing a great debut season. You've worked with a lot of young drivers. You've given a lot of young chargers their opportunity to get into Formula One. Where do you think he'll be in his head? Home Grand Prix. He grew up very close to the racetrack, not quite spitting distance, but probably tennis ball throwing distance. More pressure, or do you think you're kind of immune to it when you're that age?
I think he's very lucky. Very lucky that he's Mark Webber alongside him, and probably even slightly more so, if I may say this, Mark, Anne, Mark's wife. I go back a very, very long time with Anne. She looked after Johnny Herbert in 86 when Johnny came to me, won that Formula 3 championship. You know, they have got such a style together that I think Oscar is in the perfect hands. So to answer your question directly, I think when you have that kind of enthusiasm and you have that advice and control coming from an experienced old hand, it absolutely helps. I'm absolutely quite certain Oscar is going to be a top guy. I like the way he qualified in the last race. Didn't race particularly well. He had a couple of little issues. You know, it's a massive thing to be up against Lando Norris in a McLaren straight away. So well done, Mark, for getting him in there in the first place.
Yeah, hear, hear, EJ. Well, I think we're going to keep it short this week because I know you've got to get off and get to the party. Party will not start until you've declared it open. So that's all we've got time for this week. Keep sending in those questions by emailing fs@whisper.tv. By the end of this, EJ, I might be able to get that to roll off the tongue.
I think you might have to give up this. I think you need to go back for elocution lessons or get those teeth arranged so as you can actually get around them.
Yeah, difficult for me. But what is easier is to say you can follow us at F1 for Success and tell your friends and ask them to tell their friends too. Thank you for listening.